John chapter number 4, if you want to stand for just a minute and rest your seat, we'll read a little bit in the scripture, give you the thought the Lord has put in our heart tonight. Verse number 25 of John chapter number 4, most of you know the story here. Jesus is dealing with a Samaritan woman, and the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? A woman then left her water pot. She wasn't going to need that, was she? And went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. He said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith to them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, they are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit in the life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another man reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labor, and ye are entered into their labors. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come out unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them and abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went to Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. You can be seated tonight. Father, I do come before you. I ask you, Lord, that you'd anoint us. God, refresh us. Help us, Lord, as we preach the word of God. Minister to our hearts. I pray the word of God would challenge us, correct us, and teach us, God, your ways. Thank you for this church. Pray you bless Brother Vinoy. Bless the work here at Bible Way Baptist Church. Thank you for what you're doing. Continue to do a work in hearts and lives. We'll thank and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Very familiar passage of scripture tonight, John chapter number 4. Jesus here dealing with this Samaritan woman. And I'm glad we can learn from the scripture that sin cannot satisfy. This world cannot satisfy. Even in John chapter number 4, you find a woman who wanted to start talking religion with Jesus. And religion cannot satisfy. I remember when the preacher came to my house, he turned off the TV and preached on hell for about 20 minutes, never asked my permission. And he asked me if I was saved, and I said I was saved, but I was backslid. And he made the statement that he doubted it and told me why. He said a man's life proves what he really is, and the reason I had lived my whole life in sin is because I was a sinner. But I remember thinking, as the Lord was dealing with my heart in those days, the conviction settled in. I went back to all the professions I had made. I went back to the church visits and trying to live for God the best that I could. And really, I knew in my heart, I had not enough respect, not to say it outwardly, but my religion was as empty as my sin was, because I had never been born again. But Jesus told her, if you'll drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. And thank God, listen, since that time I have been satisfied. Thank God for Jesus. I'm glad Jesus satisfies, aren't you? But as I look here, it's a great story as we think about our work and the ministry that God has called us to do, about reaching men with the gospel and the work of trying, listen, to see people saved by the grace of God. I'm glad we can learn from the greatest example, and that is Jesus. And to look at this story tonight, as I think about the work that we do, I think number one is that the work of God is not about numbers. Look at chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Bible said, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Now that amazes me, Brother Vinoy, contrary to popular teaching, is when the Lord knew they were focusing upon numbers, He left that work and went somewhere else. Listen, numbers have never been the number one priority with the Lord and with the Lord's Word. I tell you what God's looking for. He's looking for some people that will love Him and serve Him with all of their heart. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, He said, there will I be in the midst of them. And it's easy to get caught up in numbers and the look. Listen, pastors carry that pressure of wanting to see the church grow and to see things happen. Listen, Jesus looked at Peter. He didn't say, lovest thou Me, get a bunch of people in church. But He said, if you love Me, you'll feed My lambs. Listen, if we'll focus upon the majors and see the Word of God go forth and see great things done, we may see some numbers. But if we never do, may we never get caught up in putting a priority upon our numbers or what we see the Lord in this day. I think about, listen, the one that He went to Samaria, listen, because He wanted to touch a woman in Samaria. The disciples looked at Him and said, He must needs go through Samaria. He had His heart on one city. I think about Philip was also in a revival in Samaria. And Jesus told Philip to get up and to cross the desert. You know why? He saw one Ethiopian eunuch who had the Word of God, but he did not understand. And the Lord sent him all the way across that desert for what? You know what Jesus said? How many of you have 100 sheep? And if one go astray, He said, one go astray. And the focus of us, or are they, and our focus needs to be on that one that the Lord would allow us to reach with the Word of God. Amen. We went across Tortuga Island, was walking down a path, and came upon a young lady, and to ask her if she was saved. You know what she said, Brother Vinoy? She said, I'm saved, but I'm backslid. And I just got to share my testimony. I thought the same thing. I had went to church, but it never was real. I could barely get done before she told the pastor. She said, I'm really not saved either. Amen. Listen, thank God for the work of one and one. I look around this building and what could happen for God if we would get serious about winning one. Amen. One for Jesus. Amen. Listen, I think number two, I think about, listen, about the work of God crossing all racial boundaries. But the Bible said that they marveled. Several in this scripture marvel. One was the Samaritan woman. How is it that thou, being a Jew, asked to drink of Me, which am a woman of Samaria? It says next, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The disciples had gone out to buy some food. They came back. And you know what? They marveled that Jesus was dealing with this Samaritan woman. But I'm glad they didn't have guts enough to say anything. They held their peace. And they learned that the Lord is willing to break, listen, those racial boundaries. It's amazing to me, Brother Vinoy, that God had called me when I got saved. At the age of 23, I had been locked up for fighting with black boys just because they were black. I was racist. And God saved me. You know what He did? Began to work in my heart. Thank God changed me. Took the racist away from me. There's times I'd wake up and say, Lord, where you want me to go witness today? Had the Lord have put me right in the middle of a black community somewhere, had I had no idea that one day God would be calling me to the country of Haiti. But I'm glad it breaks all racial boundaries, aren't you? You realize if it did not break racial boundaries, you and I would have no hope, because it's Gentiles. That's what we were. Hope. We were strangers from the covenant of God. We were without hope and without God. But I'm glad the Lord loves. Thank God the red, the yellow, the black, the white. Amen. I'm glad it breaks all racial barriers. Hallelujah. And Jesus loves the little children. Brother, one of those trips this year, this week, I think this year's second trip, I was just discouraged. I got over there and a lot wasn't done that was supposed to be done. And that's just part of trying to do a project that fast. And I was just beat down and discouraged. I got up, walked by a Sunday school room on Sunday morning, and they had a whole pile of children in one of these rooms. And you know what they were singing? They were singing, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. And man, God got big in my soul, and grace came from heaven. I'm glad, thank God, He loves the little children of the world. Amen. Number three, I think about this story. I think about the work of God always hinges on the obedience of His people to the will of God. Jesus said, or John said, now I had always read that wrong while I was studying this in the last few days. I always thought it said that, you know, that He said, I must needs go through Samaria, but that's not what it said. John said He must needs go through Samaria. And John saw right quick that the Lord had a plan and a purpose. Listen, today as I look across this congregation, I'm reminded of the great will and plan of God and how God does not save a man just to leave a man in that saved condition. But the Lord has a work for all of us to do. Paul told the Philippians believer, he said, as you have always obeyed, he said, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's a great thing to follow God. It's good to see Him work, but I promise you, you will never get to the place to enjoy the victory of God without a heart of surrender, without a willing heart to work and do whatever He has for us to do. I think about even the work of missions and the great work. Brother, Haiti just about overwhelms me. But you know what? Haiti's just a little speck in the great plan of God. And there's so much the Lord would love to see accomplished. Listen, young people today, teenagers, you've got so much you could do with your life. And so much the world tell you you should do with your life. But I can promise you there's only one thing that will last, and that's what you do for Christ. You don't have to give your life to this world. You don't have to give your life to sin. You sell out at a young age, give God your all, and be able to say, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. The devil don't deserve your life. Jesus died for you, and Jesus deserves you're bought with a price. The Bible says you're to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And there's times, listen, that the Lord has through the years, Brother Vinoy, and I didn't wind up back in sin or back. I didn't quit, go my own way. But there's times I've been on a church pew. And the Lord passed by and shaked me a little bit, let me know I was just drifting. I was just doing my own thing. I was just going my own way. And bring me to a place of surrender, to realize that this world does not matter, and this world's going to pass away. There's so many toys to keep you busy in life today. But you know what? Toys will not pay come payday with Jesus. I tell you, friend, the only thing that's going to matter is what we do for Christ. Brother, I cannot imagine, listen, I tried what this world had to offer. I had at times my own business. I had money in my pocket, but I was so, so empty. But listen, tonight I give Jesus my all. And it's a joy to go that way, to see God work and bless in your life and to use you for His glory. There's nothing I would rather have than the touch of God and the work of God in my life. Listen, there's so much that can catch your attention. But we must remember the great will and plan of God. Verse number four, He must needs. I also think about verse number 38. He said, I sent you. That's verse number 38 of chapter 4. I sent you to reap whereon you bestowed no labor. But think about those words, I sent you. Listen, the Lord is now, what a great work I believe the Lord wants to do in Haiti. But you know where that started? That started with a young preacher who got a burden for my roommate. He hadn't been to all the great, listen, maybe soul winning classes, but he came in there full of God, and he came in there and preached the word. And from that work of a young preacher going next door, later on God would call me and let me go to Haiti. But listen, how much can be done if we just be obedient to the will of God? And how much needs to be done. I thought about all the world and what it is, and I've heard people say, how could God send someone to hell and these foreign countries that do not have the word? And you've heard all of those arguments about, listen, but you realize the world did not start that way. The world as we know it started in one family. It was Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All of them had the truth. All of them knew the way that they should go. And you know what? Families from there drifted. They went their own way. They went away from God to create the mess we have today. But even in the mess we have today, I'm glad I serve a God who's got a heart for the world. Bible said, for God so loved the what? The world, that He gave His only begotten Son. The world. I look out on your mission board and thank God for the men that you've got spread it out and you're trying to affect and to turn the world. Thank God for them. Thank God for men who are willing to go. I've heard people say, well, missionaries used to, you know, they would just sell what they had and go to the field. Do you realize how many missionaries used to bury their children on the mission field? I want you to know I'm glad it's the way it is today. Amen. And I appreciate people who have willing to set some aside and to pray and say, Lord, we want to be involved in world missions. We want to be involved and given to the work of God. We want to be involved in seeing others get the gospel. Listen, God began to deal with me about missions, Brother Vinoy. I never ran from Haiti. I go on my second trip, I got rocks thrown at me, slapped around, and saw witch doctors firsthand. I never flinched from the call of God. But I wanted to get out of deputation. I'm being honest with you. I did. I wrestled with that, wrestled with it. And I tell you why, as I wondered about God's people, wondered about going and doing that work, putting my life in someone else's hand. That's an uncomfortable place to be. You've been there. But you know what I can say now is thank God I serve a good God. Thank God I serve a God who has good people. Amen. Thank God for His work. Amen. Listen, it all hinges on the obedience of the will of God. You young people today, don't you be fooling around and listen, giving your life to the things of this world, and you can get so caught up in your buddies and your media and your going, your doing, your new car you want, you're fixing up and all of that. Listen, don't you forget the God who died for you and the Lord who saved you and a world who needs to be touched with the gospel. Amen. You sell out and give Him your all. Think about a world and all of its diversity came from one work, and it became a mess through disobedience. The only way it'll ever be reached is through the obedience of God's people. I'm glad God's got a plan, don't you? I'm glad I can be a part of it, and you can be a part of it. The Lord lets me and my family give a little part to Faith Promise and trying to send other missionaries as well as going ourselves. Listen, and the Lord did not deal with us about a great big number. Of course, we're on deputation, but I can say today I'm doing exactly what God told me to do. And they open that song book and they sing, I'm living by faith. I can smile from ear to ear and raise my hand. I care not today what tomorrow may bring. If shadow or sunshine or rain, the Lord I know ruleth o'er everything and all of my worry is vain. Thank God, listen, the Lord dealt with you about Faith Promise and it may be a smaller number. But if God has dealt with you about that number, you give that number. You can raise your hand just like anyone else when they're singing Living by Faith because you know you've been obedient. Thank God to the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I've got to hurry. I'm done. I think about the empowerment of His Word. Look at chapter number 4 in the last verse. This stood out to me, Brother Vinoy, verse number 54. This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when He was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now, that thought began to stand out to me that this was the second miracle He did when He came out of Judea. You know what He did? He touched the nobleman's son, but He did it through His Word. He said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Brother Vinoy, that means this. You've got the disciples there. They're saved. Their lives are changed. And they're following God. You had the city of Samaria that He has turned upside down, and He did it without miracles. You know how He did it? He did it through His Word. And the preeminence and the power of the Word of God. Listen, you ought to thank God for a man of God. Listen, my pastor's Brother Barry Rackley. Brother Vinoy knows I got God's man. Thank God for a man of God. What you ought to pray? You ought to pray God and pour it on him. Lord, fill him with your word this week. Give us something fresh from heaven. And you know what? When he gets up in this pulpit and absolutely explodes, you ever do that, brother? I can look at your pastor and tell he explodes from time to time. I've seen him tear up during too many songs and testify with those tears running off his face. I can picture him standing up here and just exploding at times with the Word of God. Can I tell you, that is the preeminence of the ministry that God has called us to. And that is this book right here. It is the Word of God. Listen, people have gone to the right, to the left. They've sold out for the other ways, contemporary ways, but I'm glad, thank God, we can stay with that book, and it's still got the power to change lives. You mentioned the one here this morning. I don't know what happened or who it was, but I promise you, you heard the Word of God, didn't you? And the Word of God can make a difference. I was talking to Brother John, the guy who won me the Lord, and I said, I don't have to know what I'm doing in Haiti. And he said, well, I remember preaching an old trailer in North Carolina and preaching the Word of God and left you with it. And he said, it worked then, it'll work now. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God. It can change lives. So I'm going to ask you tonight, as I think about this, he said, one soweth and another reapeth. I don't believe anyone ever gets saved outside of the Word of God, Brother Vinoy. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So I think about the Lord doing a work in our day, and we would have to agree sometimes it seems that not as much is being done. Would you agree? Amen. But how much sowing is being done? What about tonight in this service? If we had to gauge the whole work of God by how much we sowed this week, the Word of God, what would we have to show today? What about with our families? Now we invite them to church. Thank God for that. Listen, and you can invite them to church, but I tell you what they need. They need the Word of God. Say, has anyone told you today that Jesus loves you and that Jesus died on a cross for you? That's His Word. That's a mile different from saying, I want you to come to church sometime. And nothing wrong with that. But don't you forget, the preeminence is in the Word of God. Living by faith, we work by faith. I'll close with this thought. The Bible says this, we work by faith. And we all have a field. Thing about sowing and reaping is you never see the result of your work. And that makes it hard to work at times. Any of you ever get out and you hand out tracts, you witness, you invite, and it seems like nobody ever comes? And you know what? Because you do not see the work being done, you can get discouraged. But we sow by faith. He said, my word will not return void. Anyone I've ever given the Word of God to, God has sown a seed. Others may reap, it may be down the road. I'm amazed at the work of God. Sometimes if you just keep sowing, God will let you get on the reaping too. Amen. It may not even be the ones you've sowed. I'll give you an example of that. We was riding down the road one day. God spoke to me to stop at this house. We passed it. I wrestled with it. I was single at the time, and I knew it was a young lady, and I didn't want to stop, but Lord began, I had a guy with me, no reason why we couldn't stop. But we finally I was just obedient. I turned around and went back. We knocked on the door, had the guy with me, of course. Well, turns out she was on the telephone, brother, trying to figure out how to get saved. God will let you in on the reaping if you'll sow. Statesville, North Carolina this year, we was preaching on the street, handing out tracts and just doing the normal thing. We went to leave, and I saw a man standing there looking at us, you know, as we was leaving. So I just walked over there and said, can I give you a track? And he said, you tried to give me one a minute ago. And I said, would you like one? I said, anybody ever took the time to talk to you about being saved? He said, to be honest, that's why I pulled over here and stopped. He said, you tried to give me a track back at the red light. And he said, I told you I didn't want him. But as I drove off from the red light, the Holy Spirit smote my heart again and said, that's exactly what you want. Turned out he had been under conviction for weeks, Brother Vinoy. And he said, I didn't know how to be saved. And he had had a charismatic background. And Lord, let us take the Word of God and see him bow right there on the tailgate of his Ford truck. That Ford emblem didn't hurt him a bit. Amen. Call on God. Amen. Thank God for the work of God. Brother Vinoy, I'm done tonight. What about it tonight? Are you sowing? There can be no reaping outside of sowing.